The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Hey, I just ask that give me a call if you want. We have five open lines. Oh, we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. Also, if you want, you can email me at info@carm.org, info@carm.org. And you can make a comment, say you like the show. Say you don't like the show. I would like that. If people said, I hate the show, I would get a kick out of that. I'd read it, you know, if you meant it. I'd read it. Because I enjoy hate mail, and tomorrow's Hate Mail Friday, so we'll see how that goes. Which reminds me, next week, Friday, I won't be on the air because it's Good Friday. So let's see. We're going to be on YouTube here for the next 10 minutes, so if some of you want to watch on YouTube, you can, and then you got to move over to Rumble, because we're doing more and more stuff on Rumble because of the censoring Gestapo on the liberal media things and stuff like that. Speaking of which, liberal idiocy, President Trump has been indicted, and then he has to be arraigned. And so, you know, I've been following this, and in my opinion, I don't know, maybe some of you have some better insight. I think it's the politicalization, the enforcement, weaponization of the political system to try and get him out, because I believe that there's a lot of corrupt people in government. I mean, a lot of corrupt people. And I think if Trump gets in, he'll clean house. I think they're really afraid of that. And the liberal wacko morons out there who are seeking to, well, in my opinion, just turn us into a dystopian, a dystopian socialist regime. I could get pretty angry about this because I don't trust our government, and I don't trust the political system. I don't trust the elections. I don't trust the Biden crime family. I don't trust the Senate and the Congress. I don't trust them anymore. I don't know. What do you say? Do you trust our government? Do you trust that it's okay? I mean, it's got the borders open because of Biden. The borders are wide open. We're being invaded. Don't forget the Afghanistan withdrawal, where $90 billion worth of weapons were left so that the enemy could get them. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now prices are soaring. You know, the COVID mandates and the vaccines that they're trying to get people to go into, and still, it's ridiculous. And the Chinese are making headway in nations all around us. And so this is because of the weakness that a guy in the presidential office is showing, along with the corrupt people underneath him. So now I'm allowed to say this right now, but how long before I get arrested for saying the Biden crime family, and that's my opinion, or how long before I say I don't trust the COVID shots? I don't. Now, see, I just said that. I don't trust the COVID shots. That's me. Maybe you do, and if you do, that's fine, okay? I'm just telling you my opinion. And so will I be pinged for that, or say you can't be on YouTube because you said you don't trust the COVID shots? You know, this is what liberalism does. And I'm going to tell you why it's going bad. Because the nation has taken its eyes off of God. It's taken its eyes off of God, and it's doing what's right in its own eyes. There's no moral absolutes anymore. There's no moral truths. There's no absolute truth values. So everybody's going to do what they want. And the perversion of the alphabet Nazis trying to get sexuality redefined and put upon children in schools, and having all this pornographic idiocy going on in their books and stuff like that. This is an assault on our nation. It's an assault on our families. It's an assault on the purity and innocence of our children. It is the wicked in control. And this is what's happening in Psalm 82. I'm reminded of Psalm 82. I'm going to read this. We'll get to the callers. I'm going to read Psalm 82. God takes his stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, and all of you are like the Son of the Most High. Nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possesses all the nations. And it's an imprecation. Psalm 82 is an imprecation, which means it's a psalm of wishing harm upon people. And people are shocked often to find out that the inspired psalmists would actually write like that. They're called imprecatory psalms, and there's a lot of them, where it says, God, rise up and get them. And so I think we as Christians could pray imprecatory psalms upon the leadership of our country, because how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? This is what's going on in the high places here in our land, and I think that Christians ought to start praying for judgment upon them, that God would deal with them. We want them to be saved, but we also want judgment upon them so that the righteous in the nation can survive instead of being oppressed. And I'll tell you, I've been saying this for a long time on my radio show, for a good 18 years, that the alphabet Nazis are not going to stop at your front door. Just like in Sodom and Gomorrah, when they wanted to have their way with the men, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were forcing their ways into the homes. And this is recorded by God through Moses for our benefit, to understand that this is a kind of a prophecy. And this is one of the things I want to say, is that in Genesis 6, Genesis 6:9, it says Noah was perfect in all his generations. One of the theories about why the flood came was to wipe out the Nephilim and the sexual perversion that had been going on. I won't get into the details there. But what is interesting is Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So there's a judgment that came upon them for their immorality. And it will be like this before Christ comes back. There's going to be a rise of immorality. And let me tell you, Christians, something. If you put your trust in the pre-tribulation rapture to get out of here, then you need to, you need to reassess. Now, if you believe in pre-trib rapture, that's fine. I don't care. I'm post-trib rapture. Whatever. I hope you guys are right. But I'll tell you something. If you are putting your hope in getting out of here and letting things go the way they are, then you're in rebellion and sin against God. Because the Bible tells us to occupy till he comes, till he returns. We are to always stand against unrighteousness. We are always to stand for truth. And if you in any way are saying, I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to get raptured out of here before it gets bad, then you are in rebellion against the word of God. You need to repent. And the preachers and teachers who might say the same kind of a thing need to do the same thing. They need to repent, because we're told by God to occupy, to deliver the weak and the needy out of the hand of the wicked. We are obligated to do this kind of a thing and to stand now while we're waiting for the return of Christ, whichever that might be. And I do hope the pre-trib raptures are correct. I honestly do hope that's correct. I hope I'm wrong. But the thing is that we are obligated as Christians to fight and to stand up and resist the evil one who is taking form in our high places of government. That's what needs to be done. We could talk about that, couldn't we? Hey, let's get on the air with Travis from North Carolina. Travis, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, not much. Just, just rambling and ranting. So what do you got?
Not much. You know, I was in church last night, so I missed last night, but I'm still trying to stay in touch with you.
Travis, it's hard to understand.
I know, I'm coming.
It's a bad connection. It's hard.
I'm sorry. I had it on speakerphone.
Okay. Let's try it again then.
So I know I'm filling some pretty big shoes here, but I got something I need to try to disagree with you on.
Okay.
Amillennialism. I'm with you on the post-trib rapture, but I feel like premillennialism would be more accurate. I feel like Jesus needs to come back in order for him to have a millennial reign.
Well, hey, if you hold that's fine. That doesn't bother me. I used to be premillennial, and I'll tell you the story. Now I'll run the verses by you and just see what you think and stuff like that. And if you disagree, praise God, man. That's good for you. Seriously. Because maybe I'm wrong. And seriously. So what I'm going to do is go to the scriptures. I'm going to read you some stuff and tell me what you think. Because this is what's convinced me. Maybe it won't convince you. So in the premillennial view, there's going to be a thousand-year reign of Christ. And before that is when the rapture occurs. And after the thousand years is when the new heavens and new earth are made. Right?
Exactly.
Correct? Okay. Now I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 4, starting at verse 16, through chapter 5, verse 2. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. So that's the rapture. No, I have no problem with that. And the rapture will come, like the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the beginning of the millennium, all right? And this is what 2 Peter 3:10 says. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. So to me, it looks like the new heavens and new earth are made on the same day as the rapture. You see?
Okay. I see that.
That's what converted me. Now, I'm not saying, Travis, if you don't see what I see, you're dumb. Not, of course not. But I'm just saying that's what did it for me. And I went, wow, I never saw that before. And so then I started looking at some other stuff, too. But I'm really tickled that you disagree and you're calling up to disagree. I am totally jazzed about that, for real. I like that.
Yeah.
No,
like I said, man, I listened to you about the whole time I was in prison and until they moved me to a different location and I missed up. But I brought home two legal folders full of Matt Sleek notes that I had made every day when Chuck.
Wow. You poor guy. You had to listen to me in prison. I mean, that's really a lot of punishment, a lot of people would say. But hey, you know, good for you. And seriously, Travis, I'm not just saying it. I really mean it. I'm tickled that you call up and you disagree with something. I do. I think it's great. So good for you.
I watched two of your debates. I watched the one with Tom Jump and I watched the one with the guy about baptism being necessary for salvation.
Okay.
And I don't understand how people are presented with facts and just won't acknowledge them.
Well, it's easy. It's because the natural man cannot receive the things of God for their foolishness to him, because they're spiritually discerned.
1 Corinthians 2:14.
There you go, brother. So you've been learning. That's right. And also in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They are doing it because it's their nature to do so. That's why. Okay? But praise be to God.
Well, I appreciate it, man. You'll be hearing from me soon.
I hope so. But praise be to God that he's granted you that faith and repentance. And brother, just keep strong in him. All right? And you keep listening.
Sir.
And you keep checking what Reverend Slick says with the scriptures. You make sure I'm right. Okay?
I am. I check yours first.
That's right. Okay. God bless, buddy. All right. I enjoy his calls. May the Lord bless him. Hey, we have two open lines, and if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. Rod from North Carolina. Rod, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man, how are you doing?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
So am I. Yes, I'm going to say that I'm
I concur with what you said about government.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, my eyes have opened up fully. But as a God-fearing Christian, I have to pray for whether it be Republican or Democrat.
That's right.
Trust them either. But I have to pray for them.
That's right.
And that's what we're here to do. Donald Trump, he is not president worthy. I don't really feel that he may get back in there. Unless they pull some illegal strings or something, I don't know. Hmm. But I don't trust him. I agree. What would you say the outcome of our presidential future is?
Oh, I believe, in my opinion, I don't trust the election process anymore. If you've seen the movie 2000
like
Mules.
What?
2000 Mules, you can. I'd recommend everybody view that. There's pretty hardcore evidence of ballot stuffing, and that the Democratic Party was involved with it. And because they're in control, no one's going to be punished. No one's going to suffer. And it's pretty bad. This is me. I'm pretty much pessimistic when it comes to this. I don't trust our government. I don't. I don't trust them.
I don't either.
Yeah, and they're in power, and Obama did some bad stuff, Biden does bad stuff, and Pelosi, Hillary, you know, they did this bad stuff, and they're skating, and they're,
you know,
it's just ridiculous. So I don't trust them, and it's, you know, I think it's the Christians' fault largely for not standing up and resisting evil. I'm sorry. I just don't. When Biden got in, you know, he began his reign of terror with leaving Afghanistan and leaving billions of dollars of weapons in the hands of our enemies. Billions. It's insane. Trump wouldn't have done that. I'm not saying Trump's great, but I'm just saying he wouldn't have done that. And when Trump did leave office, we were energy independent, and now we're not. The borders were closed, and now they're open. You got to think, you know, I want all people to think about this kind of stuff, and I need more information. But now it looks like other nations are starting to move away from the dollar and move towards Chinese yen. If that's the case,
that
it can help collapse. That'll collapse our economy. And so it looks like, you know, the people in our government, are working in such a way to bring the destruction of our government, of our nation. And if you think about the alphabet Nazis that are out there, what's happening to our moral fiber? It is just frayed all over the place. So now that transsexuals can demand stuff, in fact, there's supposed to be a day of rage coming up because the transsexuals are trying to unite and to have a day of rage. This is insane.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's bad. And people, they don't listen to me. To the Word of God. You know, it's when the homosexuals wanted to have their way with the angels, with Lot, they were going to force themselves into the home. And Lot said, don't do this. But they had to be blinded. They
let themselves be overtaken by an abomination.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Man.
That's right.
An abomination. Boy, tell you.
That's right. So it's bad. Yeah.
It is. Very bad.
Yeah, and I'm not very good at this. I'm good at theology, but, you know, it's what it says. It's just, this is insane. Our government's in trouble. Our nation's in trouble.
We have to take it back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We have to do that. And regardless of all of the chaos that's going on in this world today, like, we are living in the last days, yes, but we really, really have to seek ye first the kingdom of God. We have to.
Amen, brother.
It boils down to it.
You're right. And you're right, you know, and we need to do that. And we are going to lose our nation, and the Christians are going to become persecuted. And dare I say that I have discernment, and I risk saying that, but I've always known, ever since I became a Christian, that there are things that are true and false, and the Word of God makes sense to me. The theology makes sense to me. I get it. I see the overall work, and you know, I've seen how cults get started. I understand the techniques. I understand it all. And I see the same kind of a thing being worked in our government and upon the people.
Right.
And we don't have a unified front. And our moral fiber is frayed. It's breaking. And a nation can't survive that way. We're being invaded from the south and attacked from within. And so the Christians need to repent. And the Christians need to start preaching the truth. You know, the pastors need to start preaching the truth, you know? Yeah.
It's like I said earlier, when everybody's out for self, they put the Word of God, or they put God on the upper shelf and just forget about Him. But little do they know what they're, I mean, what they're, who they're up against. It's, they're fighting a losing battle.
Right.
A losing battle. God versus everybody. Who's going to win? God, because He is in charge.
He's in charge. But, you know, people will say, sometimes Christians will say, well, if God's in charge, why worry about it? Well, God tells us to worry about it. He tells us to defend the helpless and to resist the ungodly. He tells us to.
That's right.
But when you preach the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus dressed in a woman's nightgown, well, then I guess, you know, and turn it her cheek, you're given an excuse to do nothing. And that's me.
That's what it boils down to. They have an excuse to do absolutely nothing, something for their own benefit, and misleading a lot of people, and even babes in Christ that are looking for a better solution to living, and they're tired of living their old life, and they want to transform into a new life, and how they're going to get answers from such a person that's unable to produce on the spiritual realm.
Yep, that's right, brother. Well, anyway, that's right. So we'll see what happens. But, okay, brother, there's a break, so perfect timing. All right, man, God bless, Rod.
All right.
Okay. God bless, yeah, sure. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Phil from Charlotte, North Carolina. Phil, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask you about Ephesians 5. Verses 11 and 12.
Okay. And that, and do not participate
in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Like, they're unspeakable.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I could say it now, and you'd know what I was talking about, but it's unspeakable.
It's not a literal thing. You can't talk and say it. It's just as the Jews often did, speak in exaggeration. You know, truly, 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 I say to you. There's lots of things, like Jesus is our only Lord and Master, Jude 4, when the Father is too. And so they had this way of talking, and that's all that's going on. is that these things are unspeakable. It doesn't mean you can't talk about them. It means that's just an expression. That's how bad it is. It's just these things are, you can't even talk about them. They're so wicked. That's all.
Well, okay. Like Daniel 7:15, and then the end of that chapter, and then the end of chapter 8 of Daniel, it's like Daniel is sick over seeing what's coming, you see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of chapter 8, it says that he had no one to explain it to him. And I was at a Sunday school class a few weeks ago, and the Sunday school teacher said, we're not supposed to talk about politics in church.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it like we got freedom of speech. If we don't use our freedom of speech, we're going to lose our freedom of speech.
Yeah, yeah. The idea they're not supposed to speak about politics in church is ludicrous. Jesus is Lord over all areas of our life, not just the religious one. This is the very attitude that is helping to cause our problems in our country. We are obligated,
yeah.
As Jesus says, give the Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God. And so he says, you're obligated to do both. Are we to say that we can't talk about politics in church when the Bible talks about politics in church? And it's a statement of ignorance. Not to be disrespectful to the person, but they just don't understand what the Bible is teaching. Okay.
Yeah, the healthcare industry has got this whole cash cow where, you know, they're pumping women full of testosterone, and then they get violent. So, is that surprising?
No, it's not surprising.
And it's a huge cash cow.
Yes. Money, like the COVID vaccine shots and medical practice and things that government is rewarding immorality with and other things. Yeah, it's what it is. Uh-huh. Yep.
Well, I thank God that you exercise your freedom of speech, and I'm going to continue to pray for you. I'm going to get off the phone, and I'm going to turn radio on, and I'm going to listen to you some more. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. Well, God bless. All right. Hey, two open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's see. Let's get on with Ryan. Ryan from Pennsylvania. Ryan, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about your transcendental argument for God that's on karma. But first I wanted to say all of the political points that you started the show with, I will be glad to debate you at length about them at any time, and to use your phrase, I will clean your clock on every point.
Okay.
So
you always say you're going to clean my clock on everything. And you've apologized numerous times. So what's your thing about the tag thing? Let's go it again.
Okay. On Karm, you said, quote, logical absolutes are truth statements such as that which exists has attributes in nature. Do you still agree with that?
Wait. Do I still agree with the idea that attribute? What? I'm sorry, what? Say it again.
Okay, this is directly from Karm. Okay.
I got that.
Now, on Karm, it says, logical absolutes are truth statements such as that which exists has attributes and a nature. Do you still agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Okay. It also says that logic is conceptual. Do you of the mind only. Do you still agree with that?
Is the word only in there?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, yeah, it's of the mind. Yeah.
Is it of the mind only?
I don't know if I'd use the word only now, but go ahead.
Okay. And then you also have a definition of statement as a written or spoken assertion. Okay. To say that logic is conceptual, which, and you have the definition of the mind only, I don't know if you've changed that or not, and to say that it is a statement which is spoken or written, which is not of the mind only, you have an explicit contradiction in your description of logical absolutes.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I get this straight. You're saying because I wrote it that the statement is represented in words, that it's... Wait a minute. Are you saying that's where the contradiction arises because it's of the mind?
The contradiction occurs as that you're saying that logical absolutes are truth statements, and a statement is written or spoken, and obviously something written or spoken is not of the mind only. And then you're saying logic is conceptual, which is of the mind only.
Well,
and that is an explicit contradiction.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So, you're serious? Are you seriously? Wow.
Well, okay. You're the one who says that the law of non-contradiction is an absolute universal. And here I'm showing you where you violate that law explicitly in your own description of logical absolutes.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So, laws of logic are truth statements, right? Right?
That's what you say, yes.
Okay, so they're truth statements, all right. And writing them down means they're not of the mind?
No, I'm saying it's not of the mind only, which is what your description of
conceptual. Not of the mind only, okay. So... do the laws of logic occur behind rocks or in chemical reactions?
According to it's of the mind only.
Okay, I got that. I asked a question though. Do they occur? Do the laws of logic and deduction and abduction and induction, all this kind of stuff that people use, do these things occur in chemical reactions inside of a laboratory or under rocks or behind trees?
Well, according to you, a statement is written or spoken, which is not of the mind only, and logic is conceptual, which is of the mind only, and that is an explicit contradiction.
No, it's not. I ask you questions. You won't answer my questions, okay? I'm just going to tell you that when you write something down, you're writing a representation of an abstract concept. You should know about the abstract principles here. You should know that the laws of logic are abstract entities and that they are of the mind, most definitely. You don't find them occurring behind rocks or in petri dishes. So they're of the mind, and they're not properties of the physical realm. So when you write a sentence, or you write number two, for example, the number two, the symbol, is only representing a universal, and the universal is an abstract entity. So you should know this, and for you to bridge the or just try to make a contradiction out of the idea of a written form representing a universal abstract thing, then contradicts and say that's of the mind only when it's a representation of that thing. I'm sorry, Ryan, but you're being ridiculous. Okay, you're just being ridiculous.
Okay, then you answer this for me, please. Is something written or spoken of the mind only?
What do you mean by the mind only? What do you think it means?
You're the one who used the phrase.
The laws of logic.
The mind only.
Yeah, and when I talk like that, what I'm saying is that the laws of logic occur in the minds. That's where it occurs.
Okay.
Of the mind only.
Okay.
You can write down 2 + 2 = 4. But do you think that 2 + 2 = 4, which is a logical necessity, do you think that that means it's not of the mind?
It's not of the mind only. It is something written or spoken, which is an existing thing, which is not of the mind only.
Oh, okay. I got you. Okay. Whatever. Okay.
Okay. And that is a contradiction in your own description of logical absolute.
Jeez. Okay.
Okay. Then answer me this.
Hey, Ryan, calm down. Ryan, calm down. Calm down, please. Okay?
Okay.
I don't know what problem you've got, but you always want to call up, just like the atheist do, and you always want a piece of me. And you take things, way too far. The issue, the laws of logic, are that they are abstract entities. Do you agree or not agree?
No, they are extracted entities from the world around us.
They're not extracted because then you have to presuppose a law of identity, and you beg the question in that. So you're not being logical. Yes, you are. You're just failing.
No, you're not.
As you fail
you do not
so frequently.
The different levels of logical inquiry. You are misunderstanding the nature of logic itself.
No, I'm not. You are. Is A equal A a truth statement? Is it?
A equals A. That's a mathematical statement, not a logical statement.
Right.
Do you want to do
we're going to move along. We're going to move along. There's a break. I've dealt with this so many times with atheists. I'm surprised he adopts atheist principles in his argumentation. He's supposed to be a Christian. Three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. All right, last segment of the hour. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Bill says, that guy makes my blood pressure go up. All right, let's get to Gary from Utah. Hey, Gary, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt, can you hear me okay?
I sure can. What do you got, man?
Good. Hey, it's always good to talk to you. I call in sometimes. Okay, a few things here. First of all, I got a perfect verse for that guy that just called, the atheist guy. You know what Romans 1:22 says? Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's the first verse I thought of when he was speaking.
Yeah, he's not an atheist. That's the problem, is that I'd like to know what people's presuppositions are, but he argues like an atheist. But he doesn't realize it. I've gone over this topic hundreds and hundreds of times with atheists, and I was just stymied when he said, I couldn't believe it. It's like, you wrote it down, therefore it's not just of the mind, is it? Like, what? You know, I've never even heard an atheist, seriously, I've never even heard an atheist say that. It was like, are you kidding me? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, I got another couple things for you might not be aware of. I knew about one of these things before, but this is regarding the January 6th thing, the crazy thing there. All right, I just seen a video here today from one of the guys on YouTube, and of course there's a lot of people that are really kind of researching this, and ever since Tucker exposed that garbage that was going on, which I knew that was before, even before he exposed it, I knew about that. Well, there's like, it showed like some feds, three or four different feds that were involved in trying to instigate, get them in trouble. A lot of members of BLM and Antifa were dressing up as patriots. They even had it on the website saying, dress as a patriot, you need to fit in. And then they scrubbed it from their site because it got exposed. Now, I've known about this, maybe you did too, long before this even came out.
Oh, yeah.
Where you were.
Yeah, there's this corruption. And the fact that the people who were instigating it, who were feds, they haven't been prosecuted. And yet these guys who just walked in, invited by the police, they're in jail for 2 years. Yeah, the corruption is obvious, the hypocrisy. We can't trust our government. I mean, you know, I've said stuff about January 6th. Hey, maybe they'll come out and get me here in Idaho because I said something, you know? And put me in jail for 2 years without a trial. The Constitution says a speedy trial. And they've been in 2 years. 2 years with no trial. On charges that are basically, ridiculous. So, yeah, I'm telling you, we just can't trust our government. It's corrupt. I keep saying this. It's corrupt. It is.
That's true. And one of the guys, I don't know, one guy that wore the horns or whatever, the one that was well known, he got released just recently. I saw that on the video.
He did?
And I was like, all right. Yeah, he got released.
Oh, good.
And I just saw that video yesterday. I don't know all the details, but I've watched part of the video, but they go into details on this, saying about, like, you know, what's going on. He's got lawyers and everything. And so, yeah, more of them are getting released, but I think it's because of all the stuff that's been coming out, and they know that they've been exposed, and they don't have any other choice now. They've got to do what they need to do, you know, to make it right, I would think. But it's like after the fact.
Make it right. They're not going to make it right. They're going to just, it becomes a pressure. They're going to try and make themselves look better. That's all. They're lions, sex, or crap. L socks.
You know what it really is, Matt? I think it's more damage control. It's more like damage control.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, right. I'm really glad that you can bring those things up, because that's pretty important. You know, we know that. And some people are really not aware. You know how you said about a lot of Christians, the Christian church, not everybody, but certain Christians, they just say, well, we just need to pray for them and pray. And it's not, praying's great, but God also says to be courageous and to stand for truth. When we do stuff, we can't just pray and just say, okay, it'll go away. No.
Well, prayer is easy.
You know?
You can just do your bit, pray, and go watch your football game. But God calls us to more than that. Pick up your cross daily and follow after me. If you don't do that, you're not worthy of me. And so that's what when I preach the gospel to people, I preach three things: law, gospel, and cost. Because the law tells us what we're guilty of. The gospel tells us how we're free. But the cost, you need to know what the cost is. It may cost you your life. It may cost you your livelihood. It may cost you things and friendships. And most places in the world, from what I understand, particularly in third world countries, when you become a Christian, you have to count the cost that you may lose your life. And here in America, the cost is someone might say something negative about me on Facebook.
I've seen people who are supposed to be born again Christians, and they just kind of want to go along to get along. And I'm like, that's not what God says. God doesn't say go along to get along.
That's right.
You know, he says take a stand. When he comes back on the second coming, he's coming to divide with a sword. He's not coming back to be nice.
And we Christians could change this country if the Christians stood up in unity and started fighting back. And I'm not talking about taking guns and go out there and, you know, I'm not talking about that. But to protest and to, I think, in my opinion, I've had this many times before over the years. I would like to see a national organization rise up that organizes Christians that on a certain day, all the people with the letter A as their last name just go to the Capitol and they just hold up signs. And then the next day, letter B. And you do this for, say, 5 days or 6 days, take Sunday off, whatever. And you go through, and each person who does this puts in $5 a month to a fund that then hires lawyers to start lawsuits as well as defend lawsuits and become aggressive and become a force for righteousness. The Bible doesn't say just do nothing. The Bible says go out and resist the wicked and rescue the destitute and the orphans. These are actions that are proclaimed in the Word of God to go out and do this. Paul the Apostle didn't have the idea, nor did his disciples have the idea, let's just sit around and pray about stuff. They went out, and they went out and faced unrighteousness that was there in the governments and the social areas and the sexual morals that were rampant and decaying in culture. That's what we're supposed to do. I mean, think about this. Just get on this a little bit. I'm one guy, and I'm not pointing to myself, look, all, you know, but one guy, and I have Asperger's, and I'm 66, and I've got a huge website on a radio, and I'm not boasting. I'm just saying one guy who can do this. And that, what if a bunch of people are saying, look, I'm going to do something. I'm going to fight back. I'm going to get on the air. Yeah. I'm going to raise funds. I'm going to do, you know, they were forward moving instead of backward moving. I believe going to the problem. I'm very unusual. When I see very rare, but a car accident happens near me, I am so fast at moving toward it. My wife is shocked. I'm already running before the sound has stopped echoing. I'm getting there, and I go towards danger. And spiritually, I go towards the issue. I go towards the Mormons, towards the Jehovah's Witnesses, towards the Muslims, towards the atheists. I go find them and look for them. And you can do a great deal that way. I wish people would support me more so I could do more of this, because I'll tell you, it's pushing rocks uphill. But we can do so much, and if the Christian church was organized, look what we could do. And I think this one day, you know, this idea of taking a whole month out and doing this all across the nation, all Christians doing this in the first day of a week, you know, the month, whatever month, you know, whatever, the first the letter A, letter B, letter C thing. I think this should be done, and they need to go to the New York Times. They need to go to the Washington Post. They need to go to these places too and do the same thing. And say, stop with this liberal idiocy. Come on, treat us Christians fairly. And Christians are going to get arrested. Well, then, you know, you get this big fund from hundreds of thousands of Christians that goes in, and you sue people. You know, well, that's not being nice, Matt. Where are we supposed to be nice? Where is it? No. You know, we're supposed to be nice and just let them walk all over us. That's what the enemy wants. And Christians aren't called to just sit there and sit down and be killed and lied about. We're not to be violent, but we are to go out there and resist, and we can do it. And the Christians don't want to do it because it's scary and it risks. It's a take a risk. Can't do that. Can't do that.
Well, one more thing.
Well, the country goes downhill. Yeah,
I was just I've been listening to Mike on YouTube. There's some other channels I listen to. They're Christian oriented or people that are conservatives, and there's some information about an uprising, if you will, of the national populace. We're considered the national populace, which are conservative, because we stand for faith, family, and freedom. So you got the mama bears, the papa bears, and people. A lot of these are not even Christian, mind you. They're standing up for what's right. So in other words, the other part, the left is imploding, and people like us are standing up, and it's rising up bigger than ever before. So that's what we need. I'm glad it's about time.
Well, you know what? If you could send me some links and some stuff like that, I'd like to build a report about those things as well and say, hey, these are the good things that are happening instead of the negative. Because I don't get much. What I do get, I don't get much good sent to me. What I often get is just complaints because you know, it's what I do. I answer questions and problems. And so 98% of what I get is, what about that? What about this? This is wrong. That's wrong. This is wrong. And things like that. And so that's just how it is. I would love to have, you know, encouraging things. I'll put them up on the website, you know. Here's a page, you know, good things that are happening in our culture. You know, and list out links and say, go here, support that. I would love to do that. I just need it. That's right.
You know, well, I like when you read your hate mail on some days, too, before you take the calls. That's pretty funny because you get laughing and it kind of gets you going, like, I got some funny hate mail here. I got to read some of these.
Hate mail is encouraging to me. I feed off of the hatred that comes from people because I know where they're coming from and I can see through their stupidity. And my hope is in Christ, not in someone said something mean to me. Okay?
Yeah, there you go.
That's right.
Well, just remember, our identity is in Christ. We don't have to worry about, like, the transgenders being where they don't even know their identity. We know our identity. We're in Christ. And those of us at our church, we've got a lot of people who are former military as well as law enforcement. So if any trannies or weirdos try to do something in our church, they are well prepared. They can conceal and carry in our church.
Oh, yeah. I got you. And I live in Idaho, so more to that. But, yeah, Christians are actually trans because we have been transformed from darkness to light, from death to life. We're trans. We've been transmitted, transformed, and we are blessed. Okay? So there you go.
That's a good point. That's
right.
I like that. One more thing for you, Bill. You know what the worst kind of fats are? Trans fats.
Yeah, I love dad jokes like that. All right, buddy.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, man. We'll see you. All right, God bless. All right, let's get to Monique. I've been waiting a long time. Monique, are you still there?
I am.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure. What do you got?
Yes. So, also when because it's been a while ago now. Did you say that guy, the first one, Ryan? He is a Christian. He says.
Yeah, he claims to be a Christian. I've quizzed him, and he gives all the right answers to the basics. So yeah.
Well, no, that was just my disturbing. Anyway, my question that I came in with.
Well, I can't hear you. You suddenly went bad. Well, I can't hear you. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Can. Yes.
Okay. Second Timothy 2, 24 through 26.
Yes, I know. Okay, yeah, so, I'm familiar with that.
That's actually a good segue a little bit. I have a great concern with this, and my question is regarding your understanding of the application of this and whether this thing I'm going to say would kind of stand outside of that pretty much.
We are out of time. Wow, that snuck up fast. Wow.
Well, people were talking quite a bit.
I'll tell you what, call back tomorrow, okay? Because we're out of time. Wow, that really snuck up on me. Sorry about that, Monique. Hey, Ray, call back tomorrow. And Tim, call back tomorrow, too. We're out of time. There's the music, heartbreak, got to go. By God's grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.